For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What have you done now?
Can you dig it, sucker?
This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Six-time wheelchair, two-time Hall of Famer. Got my man Brad Gilmore here with me, as always, coming to you from ESPN 975, 92.5. And guys, we ready to do the thing, man. We ready to do it like it's supposed to be done. Make all them suckers bow down out there. Hey, man, I'm ready. I'm ready because I'm excited. I'm excited for a brand new week. I woke up this morning, man. I looked in the mirror and I said, man, I'm still here. Let's get it done. Let's get this thing done, man. How you feel, man?
I'm feeling good, Book. We had a great weekend. Saturday, of course, at the Royal Gym Arena. Had an awesome show for Reality Wrestling. And then yesterday, we did the Mother's Day extravaganza over here at the Gilmore household, celebrating mom and sister and everybody else. What about you? Did y'all do anything special for the M Day, for the Mother's Day?
You know, just kicked it around the house. I made Charmel and mom some lobster and shrimp salad, which was awesome. You know what I mean? Put it on the grill, put some of that Old Bay on it, you know, mm-hmm. You know, make sure they get plenty of butter on it, you know, make sure they came out nice and juicy and moist. So yeah, man, I haven't had my fill of it yet. I still got a few pieces of lobster and shrimp in the fridge. I thought I might hook it up tonight, you know what I mean? So yeah, but I think I did a good job.
Yeah, you made it work, made it happen. Mother's Day. Well, shout out to all the moms out there. Y'all got y'all's day, but we should celebrate you all the time. It'd be anything else from the weekend, Book, that we should get into? There's some wrestling.
No, man. The one thing I think we definitely got to get into right off the bat. Of course, we got our sports and entertainment part of the show. You know, of course, we got to talk about a little WWE. May even talk about a little AEW, but the one thing that has definitely been on my mind that we got to touch on is that damn James Harden. This dude, man, he ain't coming back here. He's not coming back here.
Well, but that's what the rumor is.
Nah,
he's on his way back.
Rumor is he may be a free agent. You know, somebody. You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but this dude, man, has been a bust. He's not a big game player. You can't put him in pressure situation and expect to win. It was like that here in Houston. Everywhere he goes, he seems to not be able to play in big situation. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. I was listening to Stephen A. this morning, and Stephen A. said, he was quoting that James Harden has the worst playoff stats in NBA history.
You I didn't hear that. I can't. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't not believe it, but yeah, sure. I can see that.
Worst playoff stats in NBA history. This guy, you know, he said James Harden should shave his beard just so he could hide.
I saw that.
That's a good one.
That's pretty funny. I'm not going to lie to you. That's pretty funny.
That's a good one. Right?
It was an abysmal performance by him in a game seven, which is all too familiar with us Houston Rockets fans. And you know what? It is very hard to figure out why, other than, like you said, in a big pressure playoff situation, the pressure just gets to him because he's amazing during the regular season. And for the majority of go back in the playoffs, including this one, in the majority of the early rounds and the majority of most games in every series, he's really, really good. But in the games where it counts the most, he is abysmal. And abysmal doesn't even begin to describe it. I mean, he is off charts. It's almost like you've seen the movie Space Jam from back in the day. You ever see Space Jam?
Yeah.
You know how like the aliens take all the talent from the players and then they can't do anything? It's almost like the aliens take James Harden's talent in game 6 or game 7 of any playoff series. He's inexplicably bad.
Hey, man. Well, we don't want him back here.
Well, we're not even in the playoffs, so actually it would be great for us because, you know, maybe he would just give us good games during the regular season.
Bro, look here, man. That's not good. Thing is, if we ain't winning in the big part of the season, which is playoff season, ain't no use of playing the game.
I hear you.
They don't give out second place trophies in the NBA. They give away that one big trophy, that one big one, and you got to win a championship to get it. So my thing is, we don't need someone like James. I think if James Harden came back to Houston, the morale of this city would plummet as far as basketball goes.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can get much lower than it is now.
I mean, right now we're in a rebuilding stage. Right. I don't think James Harden is a part of that rebuilding stage. I don't think he's a piece, you know, of that machine to actually make us grow. I think if James Harden was on that machine, it would make it worse. I really do.
Well, apparently there are two teams that are being targeted for the beard next season. One of them is Houston, which we've actually heard all year long that he's thought about coming back to the H. And the other one is the Phoenix Suns.
I like that.
I hate that for the Suns.
What I'm saying is I like him going to the Suns. That sounds good.
Well, you know what? Let's switch gears and talk about another NBA superstar. What do you make of Kevin Durant? Because Durant, sensational in OKC, goes to Golden State, wins the two championships with Steph, then goes to the Nets, complete bust over there. Not just him, just that whole organization, complete bust.
Yeah.
Then he goes to the Suns. You think that a team that already went to the finals without Kevin Durant would have a hell of a chance of getting there. Chris Paul gets hurt. Devin Booker does what he can, and they come up short against the Nuggets, and they get bounced out of the second round. Where does Kevin Durant go from here? I mean, it's kind of a crazy situation for him, and I feel like you look at him differently now.
Kevin, I don't look at him any different. I mean, Kevin Durant, he's great. He's a great player.
Is he an all-time great?
I think so. But I just think Kevin Durant has been one of those players to where, just say, for instance, he's been able to rise to the occasion a lot of times on his own. But Kevin Durant is somebody that needs a cast around him really to be great, to be able to get open. When Kevin Durant is isolated, him and just Devin Booker, it's hard for him to, you know, really go out there and manage four periods of a basketball game. You know what I mean? He can't stay hot from you know, point A to point B. It's no way he could do that every single night. And I just think the pressure has got to Kevin Durant more than anything, as well as he need a good barber.
Kevin Durant's, hair has never been his
I'm just saying, the brother needs a stylist and a good barber, and I think that might help his feel a little bit because right now he's not feeling it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. I really do think, yes, he's a great player. He is a great player. But when you go back and you look at him, had he not made the jump to Golden State after they won 73 games the season before and he won those championships back-to-back, I feel like his legacy is completely different, and I feel like he's in the same conversation as James Harden or Russell Westbrook.
It's different how?
He's in the same conversation as James Harden or Russell Westbrook as a really good player who doesn't have enough to get it done.
You're talking about
Kevin Durant. If he didn't win those two championships with the Golden State Warriors.
Look here. Just say, for instance, Kevin Durant wasn't on that team and Golden State didn't win those two championships.
They were in the finals the year prior, and they won the year prior to that.
That doesn't make them
They won another one without him.
That don't make – look here. Did Kevin Durant contribute on those teams?
Absolutely.
Did he pull a James Harden on those teams?
No, he contributed. If James was on those teams, they would have won the title too.
I don't think so. You never know. You never know. You just can't say that. That's like saying a guy's.
Well, no, you can. Because you look at the rest of the league.
He's got a better record. That's just not the way you look at it. If you got a ring in this business, you're a made man. Kevin Durant is a made man. I think Kevin Durant's stats, points alone, makes him a Hall of Famer.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. That's not the conversation.
What's the conversation? The
conversation is, is he an all-time great that could lead a team?
You telling me Kevin Durant is in the same conversation as James Harden? That's what you're saying?
I said without those two championships, he would be in the same conversation.
I don't think so. I don't think so because he's never folded. He's never been a quitter. He's never been a guy that just let
He's
never been a guy that just let his whole city down. I don't see that anymore.
I'm not saying he let his whole city down, but he's let his team down. I mean, because as the leader of the team, you got to see him through.
I mean, you can't win every game.
You can't win every game. But how come he's never won everything without the help of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green?
Okay, see who he was playing with.
Russell Westbrook, another all-time great.
Are you kidding me?
Russell Westbrook's an all-time great player?
Hell no.
I think he was in the top 75, wasn't he?
This guy go out and shoot and shoot and shoot. And, I mean, he's missed way more shots than he's hit.
Now. You know what I
mean? But well, now, even back then, I mean,
back then he was a who great
else was on the team? Who else was on the
James
team?
Harden.
Like I said, another selfish player. So how can you win in that?
Kyrie Irving.
Okay, and then he go where?
To Brooklyn. Yeah.
Okay, what was the situation there?
Well, he had Kyrie.
Okay, so
you're
dealing with a dysfunctional team, and you throwing the blame on Kevin Durant?
I didn't say it's solely on Kevin Durant. I said if he didn't have those two titles, he'd be in the same conversation.
Kevin Durant was in the bubble. He was working. He didn't miss no games.
But they didn't win that year.
Still, what's the reason they didn't win?
Was he in there?
Kyrie Irving was at home.
Oh, that you're talking. You're talking, yeah. When we going to get the vaccine? Sure.
I'm just what? How can you win with that dysfunction of a team?
But when it gets hot, you leave. He did for the Suns, and then he loses again. On a team that already went to the finals.
I don't look at it that way. When you're in this game,
Kevin Durant, but I'm just saying.
Especially after you've won a championship, it might be more about the checks. It might be, let me go get this money. I got a championship. It may not be about that for Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is one of the all-time greatest players that ever played this game. He's one of the all-time greats.
He's a great player. I agree.
And I'm going to tell you right now, he's leaps and bounds, head, shoulders above a James Harden. We got to take a break. Stick around. We'll be back in a minute.
Maybe I choose you. You ain't gotta be the only one. We could be two. I see you over there.
You're listening to the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore. You could be my island
mommy. Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, guys. Just talking about James Harden, man. James Harden blew it again, man. This guy's a loser. Loser.
What does it say about the MVP of the league, though, Joel Embiid?
Hey, man, it just say, bro, it can't say. Look here, you can't say nothing about Joel Embiid when you got somebody like James Harden out there on the court with you.
So you're saying that the MVP of the league takes no responsibility for getting bounced in the second round?
I mean, he's a guy who's come up short in that situation. He thought he had a player on his team that was going to help him out. Help him get to that position. One thing about this game, man, it's five people out on the court. One person can't. You try to put one person out on the court and see what happens.
So how does James hold all the responsibility?
James, look at James Harden's stats.
He's just one guy.
Yeah, he is. But when you're a guy that's controlling the ball and looking to control the game, and you can't do neither, you got a problem. This guy looked like a high school player. This guy looked like a guy who had never played in a championship game before in his life. This guy looked the same guy that was here in Houston. And then we talk about James Harden when he's hot. Man, don't nobody care when he's hot. And we'll be talking about the same thing if Michael Jordan was one of those type of guys who went out there and played great in the season and then got to the championship and folded and quit. We'll be talking about the same things.
Well, I'm not in disagreement.
We'll be talking about the same thing if it was LeBron James. LeBron James got to that point and quit and didn't take his team to the next level. This guy has been the franchise, the face of companies. He's been the guy that's had that franchise tag on him. Has he ever played like a franchise player?
Well, yeah, but not. But to go back to what we were saying, not when it counts. Not when it counts in the playoffs.
Who cares when it don't count?
MVP. You got to say he played like a franchise player. He got us to the Western Conference Finals.
He was MVP just because of what I was talking about when he became MVP. He didn't give a damn about the team. All he cared about was the stats.
Well, stats are what it are. What they are. I mean, if you want to talk about if he's a
this guy was willing to pad his stats for the sake of the team.
Well, okay, you can make that argument, but
it's true.
Okay, I can respond if you would let me.
I was willing to pad his numbers, and that's all.
Tell me, that's sacrilegious.
That's sacrilegious in the basketball game.
Okay, well then tell me if he's not a franchise guy, how did the Rockets get to 8 straight playoff appearances, the most in team history, when he joined the team? He joined the team for 8 years in a row. They made the playoffs. They were in the Western Conference Finals. They were one game away from the finals, but he's not a good player. He's not all-time great.
It's hard to make the playoffs.
Well, tell that to the teams every year that don't make it.
It ain't that hard to make the playoffs, man.
Okay.
We made the playoffs every year with Yao Ming. You know what I mean?
Not 8 years in a row. And Yao and T-Mac was a great team. That was a great team. We had the streak though that during that run. That 08 was that 08?
There was a lot better team than any team that James Harden was on. I can tell you that.
Well, okay, you can make that argument. I mean, we went to the Western Conference Finals on a couple occasions and were a game away from winning.
Just keep it real, man. I know you're James Harden.
I'm not a, no, but you're putting me in this. You're putting me in the position.
I know you want to be in that James Harden band. You want to go to the party.
I don't.
You want to go to the party. You know what I mean? You want to get on the bus, you know what I mean?
I don't. But you're putting me in the position to defend somebody who I'm already in agreement with you is not who disappears during the playoff games. But the three guys that we've talked about, in Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and James Harden, who all did go to the finals together as the Oklahoma City Thunder losing to Miami, they are all top 75 players of all time, according to the NBA, all three of them.
All right.
Top 75 all time.
Okay, yeah.
All timers.
Westbrook is not going to be my first choice.
He's not first on the
board. Neither will James Harden be, you know, in my top, 10 pick or anything.
Well, he's not in my top 10 either. But
so I'm just saying. So if you're not, in that conversation, if you're not winning championships, if you're a guy that, just look here, he's labored, man. He's labored at every chance he's had. He's literally folded every chance he's had.
So where do you put?
Has been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I'm not just going to sit here and say, oh man, he's the greatest player I've ever seen.
Well, he's not.
He's a guy that's really contributed a whole lot other than, winning the MVP. You know what? When you win the MVP trophy, do the whole team get one?
No, the individual gets one.
Exactly my point. That's exactly what I was. That's what I thought. I was just making sure.
Well, yeah, it's the most valuable player, not the most valuable team. Valuable team wins the NBA Finals.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Most valuable team.
Exactly. You know what? You just.
I'm not making your point. I know you think that I'm making your point for you. I'm not making your point for you.
You made my point for me.
No, I'm not.
Everybody out there listening, they get it. You just made my point for me, Brad.
I don't know how.
Thank you.
I don't know how.
I appreciate it.
But again, you're not okay. So does Kevin out of the Phoenix Suns, who's the best player on the Phoenix Suns?
Give me this here.
Is it Kevin Durant?
Give me this.
Is it Kevin Durant?
Why are you bringing up Kevin Durant when we talking about James Harden?
Because they both got lost. They both got bounced out of the game in round two. And they're both the favorites in those series.
It's apples and oranges,
man.
Oh,
my gosh. No, I'm talking about both former MVP candidates who've gone to the finals.
What are we talking about? This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I mean,
I'm sure a lot of people share that sentiment.
They got nothing to do with this. That's ridiculous. Let's move on, man. What's going on in the news?
What do you think about Chris Paul? No.
Chris Paul, I got a lot of respect for.
I love Chris Paul.
I got a lot of respect for Chris Paul. I can't blame Chris Paul for being injury prone. Okay, that's something that's inevitable. That's something you just can't get around. And this guy, he's gotten hurt just about every time he's gotten a chance to really do something. As well as, you know, the older you get, the more recovery time it's going to take to get back. So mm-hmm. my thing is, you know, he's been a warrior, man. Chris Paul has been a warrior. He's been a leader. That's something I can say about Chris Paul. He's been a leader on the team. That's something I can't say that about James Harden. Well, I can't say James Harden has been a leader on his team. You know, just because he got the on his jersey, that dude has never been a leader on the team. He's never put the team on his back.
I don't disagree with you there.
Let's go to the promised land. He's never been that guy. That's why, I'm not a hater. I'm not a James Harden hater, man.
But let me ask you this. This is actually serious. I know we have about a minute and a half left before we go to break or a minute. Ja Morant, what do you think about what's going on with this guy?
Bend his ass for the season. We don't need to see. We shouldn't even be talking about Ja Morant until he gets some sense, you know, because this guy's in a hell of a position. I've been in that position before myself, and I always wanted to make sure I was a role model. I always wanted to make sure the young guys that was looking up and watching me and aspiring to be like me one day look at me and say, man, this dude, he's straight up. But this dude here, he know about this gun thing that we got going on here in America. And for him to be in such a high profile situation, be one of the top NBA players in the league, this dude is bad. He's bad to the bone to be doing stupid stuff like that. Just let you know, he don't want to lead a hood. He don't want to lead a neighborhood. He say, you know, you can take the neighborhood out of the kid, but you can't take the kid out of the neighborhood. Ain't that the way it goes? Something like that. I think that's what that dude is going through more than anything. He's got that Aaron Hernandez complex. He need to fix it. Otherwise, he might end up exactly where Aaron Hernandez did, in prison. Stick around. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Shit! Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame. Yeah, man, Ja Morant is a special talent, man. The kid is unbelievable on the court.
Incredible.
Definitely a star. But off the court, dude has some serious problems. And what's crazy is, about his situation is, you know, everybody's been talking about it. This fool, you know, TMZ didn't catch him. He's posted this stuff himself.
He did it on himself, man.
This boy, you know, ride with him. They posted on Snapchat. Stupid. How stupid is that? You know? But I don't know, man. Something needs to be done about it because there's too many kids getting killed today because of, you know, stupid people want to do stupid things.
And this isn't the first time he's had an instance like this. You know, Ja, like you said, he is a special individual. When you see him on the court, man, he is a special individual. But for some reason, I don't know why he continues to find himself in these positions. And you know what? I do know what the reason is. He didn't have the right people around him. You know what I mean? He didn't have the right people around him. Yeah, sure, he should know better himself. But a lot of times, if your boy's there with you, your boy's supposed to be looking out for you. Hey, bro, we can't
sometimes
do this anymore.
Sometimes you don't want the right people around you. Sometimes right. you want that hood life. You want to still be like, you know, hanging out in the neighborhood, hanging out with that same crowd that you grew up with because that's what you used to. You don't want to, experience, you know, what it's like, you know, on the other side. You just want, you know, the money and being able to do what you want to do from, you know, having all of that, you know, access. But my thing is this dude, he's going to find himself in a world of hurt because NBA is that league. It don't play. It would, you know, wash their hands very, very quickly of you. And the thing is, it ain't going to bother him anything. He already got the money. He can go. He could always go back to the hood. You know, and that's a lot of times a lot of the mentality right there, man. I can always go back to the hood. I can, you know what I mean? I got this money. You know what I mean? I can do whatever I want to do. I tell you, man, it's sad. It's sad to see this young brother put himself. And I say it all the time, and I've talked about it all the time, as far as you know, we as you know, young black men being in. Just like, say, for instance, in my business, in the wrestling business, you know, a lot of times when a black guy got knocked off, he put himself in position for something to happen to him, and boom, you know, somebody, you know, blackballed him, got him washed out. You know what I mean? And I always say, man, you cannot put yourself in those situations. You know what I mean? Like I always said, you know, coming up on the road, I never could tell on myself. You know what I mean? So I never would hang out with anybody that might go tell on me. You know what I mean? So you got, and what I mean by that is you got to be watching your back all the time, and you don't know who your friends are. You don't know who your friends are. You don't know who your enemies are at the same time. For me, just say, for instance, when I got into the wrestling business, same vices. I came straight from South Park neighborhood right there in the middle of Houston. And it wasn't the nicest neighborhood in the world. And I had a lot of buddies that I, you know, hung out with and grew up with at the same time. And then when I, you know, thought about getting in the wrestling business, they was like, man, that's stupid. This, that, what, not the third, you know? And then when I got in the wrestling business, I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. But then I was hanging around, bunch of white guys. None of them black guys, a bunch of white guys. And I'm like, man, okay, this is fun, but how is this going to work out for me? And then I really got a chance to do it by, WCW opportunity coming. And then I say, man, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do? What I did was all of my friends that I perhaps thought were my friends, that I knew if I got into a situation, would I be able to call them and say, hey, man, I need some money, man. I need some help. No, I wouldn't have been able to do that. What I did was I left Houston, Texas. I left every friend that I had, everybody that I knew, and moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, man, I'm going to give this thing a go. I'm going to put myself, I'm going in. I'm going to put myself in position to try to make this work. Now, I could have did that and then brought one of my homies up there to Atlanta with me to hang out. And then he went and got in trouble. And then he came back to me. And next thing you know, I got fired. We wouldn't be having this conversation right now. What I'm saying is do not put yourself in situation, because situation can happen to you. And that's what this kid Jai is going through right now.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, he's not thinking about everything that this impacts, you know, because he's already been suspended from the Grizzlies, from team activities for right now. This guy's got a Nike contract. He's got a Powerade contract. The NBA was trying to prop him up to be one of the next big stars and really put a lot of marketing dollars around him. He lost nearly, well, I don't know, $20 or $30 million for not being on an all-NBA team. And the only reason people don't want to vote for him is because of his out-of-the-court antics. And that stuff really matters with a brand. When you have a brand name behind you, everything that you do matters. Booker, you know that better than anybody, right? When you have a brand behind you, everything you do matters. And that's why I really wish there was somebody in his ear who could say, look, brother, like, you're about to screw up. You got a 1 in a billion opportunity, right? One in a billion shot to get generational wealth, right? For your family, for your kids, kids, and so on. And to do stupid stuff like that. And you know what? It really is the internet age. And I know I kind of come from it. Jaws in a generation a little bit after mine, but they really feel like the internet isn't real life and there are no repercussions. And the thing is,
what's the joy? Well, you're a multimillionaire,
right?
What's the joy of running around with a gun?
I have no idea.
So flash old camera to who and why? Who are you, what's your audience right there? Who are you catering to?
I have no idea.
You ain't no gangster. It ain't like, you know, and then real gangsters ain't going to be doing nothing like that, because they know the law looking. They know as soon as they get caught, the first place the authority is going to go is to your website and see what you've been posting, you know, stuff like that. You know, and for this guy to be as high profile as he is, first incident, he was in a club.
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong?
You're right. Yeah.
Posting posting a gun in the club. Now, I don't know what city he was in. I don't know what laws, you know what I mean? But it could have been, you know, he could have been getting arrested. And how's that going to look? NBA player getting arrested for having a gun in a club. It's just stupid. It's just, it doesn't make any sense to me. I can't even wrap my head around it at all. But we talked about this, though. We just talked about this. Mm-hmm. We just talked about this last show. Mental health is real.
Yeah.
It's real. This kid might be having some mental health issues. He's got to be. Everything can't be right up there as far as thinking logical. Okay, so that's a mental issue. Am I right or wrong? This is a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
One of the best basketball players in the world. So we got to get off this mental issue and think about these guns more than anything. We got to think about this dude's mental issues. More importantly than anything, because I think he needs some counseling. I don't know. Where does counseling go with a kid like that?
Counseling doesn't go anywhere if you're not accepting to it, right?
Exactly.
Like, if you don't want to be in counseling, it's not gonna change you or change anything about, you know, your mindset or direction that you're going in. It all comes down to the people you have around you. At the end of the day, that's so much. You're so much of a product of your environment.
Yeah, man, but some people don't want those kind of people around them. Just say, for instance, you know what I mean? They want to put a pastor around him. Maybe he don't want...
I'm not even saying a pastor.
A big brother. Maybe he don't want no big brother, you know what I mean? A mentor. Maybe he don't want... You know, sometimes guys like that, man, just, you know, play to the beat of their own drum. Like I say, Aaron Hernandez was a kid that had a $40 million contract, okay? But he wanted to hang out with drug dealers. He wanted to hang out with gangsters. You know, he wanted to have a gun. You know, he wanted to shoot people. You know what I mean? Mental issue, CTE, perhaps. You know what I mean? But sometimes, man, these kids are just flying by the seat of their own pants, man. And someone like Ja Morant, I don't know what he's going through for a young kid to be in his position. I mean, all the honeys out there, he could be. All the hottie biscottis out there, he could be hanging.
That picture of him in the strip club that went around too? You know, with all the money all over the floor, and he's just sitting there on the couch by himself. I don't know what's going on with him, man. I really don't. But you know what? If he doesn't get it together, he's going to have a hell of a time playing for the Shanghai Sharks because he's not going to be in the league anymore. They're going to say, you're going to have to go abroad, player. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what happens, though.
Man. That's exactly what's going to happen. I hope it don't.
Me neither. I want him to do well.
I hope this kid figure it out because, like I say, he's a major talent. He's a special talent. And to see something like this kid just losing it all for me would be a loss for so many young black kids walking around, perhaps, you know, wanting to be like this kid one day. So, I hope he gets his life together. I'm really hoping for this kid, man, because the road that he's going down right now, I don't wish that on nobody, especially a young kid of color. I don't know what his background is. I don't know where he came from. I don't know if he was privileged or not or anything like that. But his talent is God gifted. What he does on that court is God gifted, and I hope he uses it for the right purpose. Stick around, guys. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
Listening to the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
What's up, guys? It's Booker T, 6-time world champ, 2-time Hall of Famer. Got my man Brad Gilmore here. We were just talking about sports and entertainment, basketball, a little bit of everything, man. When I say everything, I mean everything, man. But right now, man, I don't know, man. There's a whole lot going on in the world of sports entertainment right now. You ready to do a little something?
Yeah. We can move on here in just one moment, but we do have to acknowledge all of our Super Chatters. If you have a question that you want to ask the Hall of Famer himself or myself, it doesn't matter, you can Super Chat it on in, and we will read it on the show. We have to start, though, with one of our favorites of all time, the one and only Mr. Cali Toenail.
Give us some Roni, brother. Oh, yeah.
Cali Toenail said, so I heard Vince McMahon has a till death do us part clause in his contract to remain as the chairman until the day that he dies. Who thinks of these things if true? Smart businessmen who make a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, look, I ain't going nowhere. You know what I mean? Till they put me in the ground, just forget about it. Let's not even think about doing something like that ever again. That's what that means. You know what I mean? So, hey, I get it. I always say it, man, when it's yours, how somebody going to tell you out when you built it?
Yeah.
That's a hard pill to swallow. You know, it really is. You know, so I don't blame the man for putting the clause in there and making sure he's solidified, and, you know, in that position, you know, forevermore.
You know, I think it's smart. And I know probably some people who aren't huge Vince McMahon fans are going to argue against me, but it's smart for him and it's smart for a businessman. Look, if you're talent or you're meaningful to a company, or if a company really wants you in a position of power or in any position at all, if you can negotiate something like that for yourself, everybody would. You know, I remember reading a book about when they came to Jay Leno at NBC and they fired him from the Tonight Show, pretty much said, Conan's taking your spot in 5 years. He renegotiated his contract because they wanted him to stay with the network, and he did something I'd never heard of. He got a pay and play contract, meaning normally it's pay or play, right? He got a pay and play, meaning you have to pay me every dollar in the contract and you have to put me on television. If you don't, there's all these kind of fines that come on top of it. If you can negotiate something like that for yourself, you better go ahead and try. And Vince did the same, and I think it's smart. If true. Bro,
I can't hate on him. I'm not going to do it. You know, I'll make sure when I'm in that position, I'm going to do something like that myself.
Hell yeah. It's just smart business. Again, like, you know, you negotiate your worth and your value. And if people want you, you know, you can negotiate it. And I know Endeavor, a big part of Endeavor buying it was with Vince McMahon attached to it. You know, and no matter what you think of his creative output or even his personal situations, nobody knows the business of pro wrestling better than Vince McMahon.
Hey,
that's
bro,
just undisputable.
That's that clause, you know, creative control, baby. Creative control.
Did guys really had that in WCW, right? Where they could just say whatever they wanted to do.
Hogan had it, of course. I don't know if Hall and Nash. I don't think Hall and Nash had that, but I know Hogan had it. I think Bret Hart may have had something in there as well. I'm not sure that they couldn't lose and stuff like that. Yeah. It's crazy.
Giving a wrestler creative control is it's pretty dumb. I'm not going to lie to you. It's pretty stupid because if I had creative control in my contract.
But you just said it, though. You know, when you,
if you can negotiate it, yeah.
If you can negotiate it because of the stroke you have with the people that's watching the show, the fans that's, you know, buying the tickets and the pay-per-view buys, whatnot. You got that kind of stroke, man, you can move mountains. Seriously.
Oh, and again, I do not hate on Hogan whatsoever for negotiating his salary or his contract.
Oh, when Hogan came out and wanted to win the title tonight that I was supposed to win, well, there's nothing I could do. I said, man, I'm going to just get my stuff and go home. I ain't winning the belt.
Hogan wants it.
I'm serious. I said, I might as well just go home. He just pulled that card.
He did. Sorry, brother. Not tonight.
No, he talked to me about it. They just pulled that card. No, I'm winning tonight, brother. So I mean, but the thing is, I couldn't even be mad at him. I was disappointed a little bit, maybe, because it was my time, and Hope knew it was my time, and he was willing to step on me to actually, you know, make it his moment. But a lot of guys that made it to that level has always been willing to do something that I talk about, and that's step on some toes and keep on walking. And that's what Hogan was willing to do that night. He was willing to step on some toes, be that as it may, it was me or who, anybody else. He wanted that night to be about him. Why? I do not know. But that was definitely something he had on his mind.
Look, man, again, well, you know what's actually interesting about Bash at the Beach 2000 is I think in my mind and in the mind of most wrestling fans, those two events are separated. The Hogan-Russo stuff we all talk about, but then we also talk about Booker winning the title almost as if it happened on two different nights.
You know what?
It's really weird.
I don't. I put those two nights
together.
Well,
I'm sure you do.
Just because I don't think my night would have been as big as it was without that moment.
Right, yeah.
I needed that moment to happen just to make people really focus in on the guy who was, wait a minute, we did all of this for this guy?
Yeah.
Okay. The brother just came up. So for me, they definitely go together as far as I'm concerned.
But yeah, so to go back to Callie's question, yeah, man, if you can negotiate it for yourself, you know, like you said with Hall and Nash, I remember them talking about that favored nation clause they had where. When Hall came in, Hall had a clause in his contract that he makes X amount, right? Say it was $750,000. I don't know what the number is. I'm just making something up. And anybody who came in after him that made over $750,000, he got bumped up to their salary. So when Nash comes in and Nash negotiates $800,000, all of a sudden Hall's got $800,000. And I remember Nash talking about like, hey, man, we started suggesting all kinds of boys that they should bring in and pay them X because – we knew we would get that money, too. Hey, yeah, bring in Bret Hart. Pay him a bunch.
I liked it. That was a good idea. You know, they was giving away money like it was Monopoly money back then, man, WCW, man. It was plentiful. It was plentiful, man. Plentiful, baby. And I tell you, man, it was a beautiful, beautiful time to be a part of the business, be in this business. I swear to God, man. It was, like I say, I was making so much money, I was miserable.
You're trying to figure out, where do I do with all this stuff? Where do I put it?
I swear, yeah. Man. It was just like, I mean, trying to manage it all and literally dealing with the accountant, you know. I mean,
but see, and that's something.
Advisors, man, it was running me nuts, man. I said, God dang it, man. This making money stuff, it's not fun.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the stuff that they don't tell you, right, when you start making money, is they're like, oh, yeah, well, guess what? Now you're in a new bracket. And with the bracket comes a higher tax rate. It comes a higher this rate. It comes a higher that rate. And talent, like when you go into of any kind of field in entertainment, that's the last thing you're thinking about, right? You think about how much am I worth? Sure. But you're not thinking about, wait, so how do I do that? What kind of account do I need? Oh, I need an IRA and a Roth IRA and a 401.
When I got audited by the government, that's when I knew I was making too much money.
I'm sure that wasn't a fun experience.
Bro, I was scared, you know, like out of my mind. I was so afraid, man. But I mean, my account, you know, took care of everything. Everything was there, everything, you know. I didn't have to, go to jail or anything. But it was definitely nerve-wracking to get audited from the government because of how much money I was making. I was like, wow, you know, this is crazy. You know, so more money, more problems. It's true. It really is true, man. You know, right now I'm just cruising. I figured it out as far as, you know, the tax man and all that stuff and whatnot. But I swear, man, in the beginning, it was, ooh, man.
Right. Crazy. Now, let me ask you about contract negotiations. Like, when you would go to negotiate your contract, like, wrestlers don't normally have agents or anything like that, right? So how would it start? Would it be like, oh, my contract's up in 6 months and someone from the office pings you?
I had an agent in WCW.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I had an agent in WCW.
Oh, wow. Oh, you don't have to say their name, but how did that work? They would just handle all the negotiation for you?
Yeah. In the beginning, he handled all of my contracts until I went singles. That's when I handled my biggest contract. Mm-hmm. I negotiated my biggest contract.
Wow.
And it was well above all the money that, you know, my agent had ever negotiated for me. Sometimes twice as much, maybe three times.
Wow.
As much. Yeah. Yeah. And the way I did it was, I remember being asked, you know, how much was it going to take to keep me in WCW? And I go, how much am I worth? Mm-hmm. And they came back with a number like well above what I was thinking about. God, man, you kidding me, right? You know? So I was like, wow, you know, they think of me that much. And actually, I mean, I could tell the number, it was $750,000.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, man, I just negotiated my own contract.
You know, so. And then you were like, $750 sounds good. A million would be better.
Oh, man. Oh, my next contract.
It was close to that, right?
It was $1.3 million.
Woo!
Yeah, that would have been, if the company wouldn't have folded, my next contract was $1.3 million.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was a great time back then. Eric Bischoff was making us all rich. You know, and the thing is, he said he was going to do that. He said, you know, Book, I'm going to make you rich. How much time we got left?
About 10 seconds.
Okay. He said, Book, I'm going to make you rich. We're in Japan. They just stick with me. And I was like, I'm going to stick with you. And but his goal was to make all wrestlers one day to be paid like NFL players. That was Eric Bischoff's goal. I give him a lot of credit for that. We got to go. We got to take a break. Stick around, guys. We will be back in a momento.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.